What is up, everyone? I am Danny Downward here with Kyle Hood. This is going to be the second episode of Summer 2K18 of the Windy City Sports Podcast. So, Kyle, glad to be back.
Oh, yeah, it's been real good. Real entertaining week of sports now. Now we're getting into the thick of it with the NBA draft. The NBA Finals are over. Stanley Cup is over. What else we got? We got the World Cup actually going on right now, which has actually been really exciting. So
US Open just happened last weekend as well. So even though it's kind of the... Everyone thinks it's a slow part of the summer for sports. There's still a lot going on, still a lot to talk about. And we're going to start off with none other than the NBA draft because it is this Thursday. Kind of snuck up on me, actually, because felt like right after the finals ended, you're like, okay, basketball is kind of gone for a while. And then it's draft, it's all this free agency talk already. So with the draft, obviously, the Bulls have the 7th pick. Wait, am I right? Or do they have the 8th? I don't know why.
7th,
yeah. Cleveland has the 8th. And they worked out Trae Young last week. I don't think we talked about that on last week's podcast. Or I don't even know when our last...
It seems like it was 2 weeks ago because I think we were talking finals.
It seems a long time ago. But yeah, whenever it was, I don't think Trae Young had worked out for the Bulls yet. But Trae Young, very polarizing player. How do you feel about him and if the Bulls were to draft him?
The biggest boomer bust player in the draft. If he booms, he's a broke man Stephen Curry. I mean, he can make plays all over the floor. He's going to shoot the ball well from deep anywhere. He's going to force them to play up, and he can blow by people, and he can also create for others. But at his bust level, he's going to be someone who jacks up idiotic shots and turns the ball over about 8 times a game and doesn't play very good defense.
So, Cameron Payne.
Yeah.
Cameron yes. Payne is his floor.
You're right. So, we should draft him anyways because we have... If the we have worst two, we can do is 2 Cameron Paynes.
Yeah, it's not...
And that makes one Chris Dunn.
Yeah, the power of 2 Cameron Paynes combined create one Chris Dunn. No, but with Trae Young, the thing... I feel like the Bulls are going to take him. If I have to bet money right now, I think they're going to take Trae Young.
Well, everyone and their mother in the top 5 has reported... interest in Michael Porter Jr., which
that's true.
No one expected.
I'm actually really worried about Michael Porter Jr. I was on the side of I'd want the Bulls to take him.
Yeah, me too.
But now, the more I think about the injuries, and there was a report that he couldn't get out of bed in the morning from, like, a hip strain. And I don't know. He's one of those guys, like, I've never seen him be good at basketball. And I know it's because I didn't watch high school. I wasn't sitting in a high school gym.
Yeah, we're not watching mixtapes here.
But at the 7th pick, there's still going to be good talent. If it's Trae Young or Michael Porter, I think you have to go Trae Young because at least he's healthy. You still have that superstar potential. And if he busts, then you're just in the lottery again, hopefully. Same thing with Michael Porter, but you may not even see him play. I feel like, especially with how the Bulls are, I think the Bulls are a team that they already feel like 1 year into the rebuild that they want to start getting better really quickly just because, you know, Garden Packs, they feel like that they can turn it around super quick, that they can do it better than everybody else. And I think that they don't want to have a guy who's going to sit out a year if he has to. I know his medicals don't have him sitting out a year, but it just sketches me out.
It seems like it could happen at any moment where he's just down and out for the season. But yeah, I see what you're saying, but if we draft Trae Young, it's them going by their list of best players available and not trying to fill needs, which, I mean, I guess that's how you should do it, but when you're in a rebuild, you can kind of pick anyone. But now that we're halfway through in quotations, we've got about half our starting lineup with Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen. You can kind of choose to draft what position you want because there's an influx of talent at pretty much every position there. Small forward's kind of weak. I mean, you only got really Michael Porter Jr. and Bridges a little bit further down. Whereas center, you got Wendell Carter, there's me, Bamba, and Aiden, but those guys
are
going to
go. I like Carter. If he were there, I'd be okay with them taking Wendell Carter.
He seems like he's just going to be another one of those high floor
guy. I feel like he could be Al Horford. And yeah. I know we need – the thing with Wendell Carter or just players like that in general is with the Bulls, I love Lauri Markkanen. I think he's going to be a great player. But I don't think he's going to be Dirk. I don't think he's going to be – a championship-level player in terms of the best player on a championship team. And obviously, the Bulls want to win championships. So I do kind of want to shoot for the stars and go for... That is why I'd be okay with Michael Porter. I wouldn't be mad, but, like, I'm a lot more reserved about it now. Same thing with Trae Young. I don't love him, and I know there's bust potential, but we have to shoot for the stars. And at the same time...
We'd be way more excited going into the offseason if we drafted Trae Young or Michael Porter Jr. than if we got Wendell Carter.
Exactly.
Although, sometimes, like you said, on a championship team, I think Wendell Carter is just going to be, like, a super steady player, so he can get, like, 14 and 10.
And
like
that's obviously not bad.
You need, like, we need a guy like that who you know, like, every night. Because even Markkanen had bad nights because he's a shooter. That's going to happen. We're not going to shoot the ball well. Well, Wendell Carter is going to go out. I think he's going to go get you, like I said, 14, 15, and 10 a game.
I think he's going to be a good – he would be a good mix with Laurie, too.
Yeah, they rotate well. They're going to – because Wendell can stay in the paint. He can work down low while Laurie's on.
And he can shoot as well. If you can't shoot today, I mean, obviously.
You're not going to draft
in the top 10. You're probably not going to get drafted in the top 10. But Mo Bamba can't shoot, but – then again, if Mo Bamba is there, the Bulls are taking him.
Mo Bamba shot like 63% in the field. I think he made a couple of three-point conversions, too.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be the type of guy who's going to be stepping out all the time, but I really if Mo Bamba falls, that would be
incredible. That's the dream right now. That's the player I want the most in this draft.
And I think the thing, back to Trae Young, that I'm most worried about is his size, because at least with Michael Porter, he has the size of a superstar. He's 6'10",
I think. 6'11".
So, obviously, I don't want to say Durant-ish, but his skill set that people talk about is kind of Durant-ish with his height. He's a small forward who's 6'10", and could grab 10 rebounds a game easily if he really wanted to. If he's full health, I'm sure. But he has that size potential that Trae Young just doesn't have, because small players usually aren't superstars in the NBA. There are good small players, but usually not superstars. Steph Curry is the anomaly out of almost all small point guards like that who are just shooters.
Isaiah Thomas in his Celtic days, too.
And even then, Isaiah Thomas isn't nearly Steph Curry level. He's a... out of that year, I don't know how he projects it all going forward, because Isaiah Thomas obviously had a really
weird
year.
Spiral.
Really weird year for Isaiah Thomas after getting traded. He played okay on the Lakers, but still, even if you take his year on the Celtics where people wanted him to be MVP, he's still not the best player on a championship team.
Yeah.
So... but then, obviously, Trae Young and Isaiah Thomas are completely different players. But that's why it's interesting. I feel like the Bulls might have a trick up their sleeve. I feel that maybe they might try and move up a pick or two if they really love Mo Bamba. I've been thinking about that, and I think they can just... I'm envisioning Mo Bamba and Laurie next to each other. I don't know what it would take.
There's been, I've read stuff saying the Bulls are looking at number 4 pick. And presumably for Bamba.
I would presume for Bamba, because his stock has been flying up. He was the first guy they worked out to out of all these guys.
Honestly, it called me kind of crazy. I think he could have a better career than Aiden. Because Aiden sucks at defense. His defense was brutal.
He's
all offense. Mo
Bamba, he's the type of guy who projects physically to be good at defense. But Mo Bamba is a great defender right now.
Yeah, like... one of the best shot blockers, like, last, I think they said 10 years in college basketball.
Him and Anthony Davis with the past, like you said, 10 years in college basketball.
And longest wingspan ever recorded in the NBA draft process, being Rudy Gobert, who had 7'9".
And his, I don't know the measurement that they do the sprints for the NBA combine. The 3-4 court.
Faster than John Wall and Russell Westbrook.
He was faster than John Wall and Russell Westbrook. If you don't want that in the center, I don't know what you are looking for.
The offense will come. His defense and rebounding are going to be there for sure. Wait till he puts on some muscle, and he can bang inside a little bit. Remember how I said Wendell Carter is going to be a 15-10 guy?
Yeah.
Mo Bamba can be a 15-15 guy.
15-15-10, and the 10 being blocks. He's going to average a triple-double with blocks. But what was I going to say? I was thinking about the Bulls, if they do trade up, who would they give up, though? That's the one thing I was thinking of we don't have assets that are, like, great to trade. Like, up to the fourth pick, are we... We're not... Robin Lopez is not going to get us the fourth overall pick. We're going to
have to throw in that 22nd overall pick in someone. I mean...
We could... We'd probably use the 22nd overall pick. And then, I don't know what young piece... I don't know. I don't think Felicio is giving us anything. I don't think Zipser is giving us anything. So, it's kind of...
Yeah, surprising. Other NBA teams want actual NBA players.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. Is there anyone on the Bulls who's worth anything paired with the 22 pick that would get us the fourth overall
pick? It
wouldn't
take as much because it's three jumps. So the 22 is almost enough as is. You could probably throw in a second rounder.
You think the 22 in a second round? Or maybe would they give up a future first round pick? Because that's the only thing I can think of. No, no, not the second round pick. Just do the 22nd in a future. Do 2020 first round pick or something. I have no idea.
I don't know if I want to give a first-round pick to move up three spots.
I don't know either. I'm just trying to think, on the actual roster, you don't want to touch... Obviously, you're not going to touch Markkanen. You're not going to touch... Maybe... I've heard they don't love Chris Dunn, but then again, if you trade him and you don't draft Trae Young, you don't have a point guard.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
Cameron Payne, who, again, is half of
no, hey, Jerry and Grant don't... Don't disrespect Jerry and Grant's name. But, yeah, I can't really... I do think that they want to move up, kind of. But...
We got to pull up the stats here.
I'm about to look through the roster because...
Oh, our bad, too. Last week, we said Addison Russell was hitting 240. He's actually hitting about 271 this year, which is not...
That's what happens when you just talk on the fly. But, you know what? That's the Windy City sports difference. Oh, David Nwaba. David Nwaba, we could... David Nwaba, Ryan Arcidiacono on the 22nd pick for the fourth pick. Who says no?
Oh, my God.
This is going through this roster, there's actually Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
That might... I don't... But the thing is, Bobby Portis is a guy you trade...
Think about that.
...to though. A good team that they need a bench piece.
How awesome would it be if we traded our 22nd pick and Bobby Portis? Because Bobby Portis essentially caused us that 22nd overall pick by giving Mirotić the smoothest right hand in Bulls history.
That's true.
That
would be poetic.
Yeah,
that
poetic would, justice. And we trade up and grab a superstar, and then Bobby Portis and Mirotić suck for the rest of their careers. It's poetic justice.
Maybe we can trade cash considerations that we've been stockpiling by trading away second-round picks.
Yeah, the extra $250,000 we got from Jordan Bell.
Jordan Bell. The more I'm thinking about it, we're probably not going to trade up.
Paxton's probably riding around in a brand-new Ferrari with that $250,000. Watching Jordan Bell get championships.
Probably Jordan Bell's out here winning championships, and we're struggling. Well, I can't even say we're struggling through a rebuild.
I think we're going to fight for an 8 seed next year.
Which is terrible. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be an 8 seed unless we have our next superstar on our team. But
what if LeBron goes out west? What are we playing?
If LeBron goes out west, there's no chance in hell we beat the Celtics or the 76ers. We are miles behind them.
Okay, that's probably your 1-2 seed. Toronto's on the downfall.
Toronto, who cares?
Oh, the Pacers, who are you scared of?
The Pacers? Oh, Victor. I'm scared of Victor Oladipo and one of the three Bogdanoviches in the league.
Yeah.
What have you noticed that? I don't know. I've watched NBA. I feel like there's three different Bogdanoviches.
I'm pretty sure it's the same guy. Because wasn't there one on the Nets?
Maybe it's like the Markieff and Marcus Moore. Yeah, he was on the Nets, but...
Did he get traded to the Pacers?
No, there's more than one Bogdanovich. I swear to God to you. There's multiple Bogdanoviches.
It's hard because they're all tall, Russian-looking dudes who can shoot the ball.
Huge white dudes, exactly. Well, there's that Boban guy. I don't know. Is he,
oh, he likes who's like 7'15 on Detroit?
Yes, that's him. Yeah. I think he's Bogdanovich, too.
He got traded to the Spurs, I think.
Yeah. He is on the Spurs. You're right. But also, they're all just... Lanky, weird-looking white dudes.
Speaking of the Spurs, I had a little theory in my friend's group chat. Okay, so the Spurs, Kawhi wants out of the Spurs, okay?
Great segue. Wow, we didn't even have to transition. You just, great stuff right there.
There's NBA offseason and the Kawhi, okay? Yes. So my theory, or just like, I don't think it'll actually happen, but I think it'd be, it kind of fits what's going on. So the Kings have the second overall pick. Kawhi wants out of San Antonio.
Nothing better than going to Sacramento. Yeah.
I know. But think about that. He doesn't really have control. The Spurs still own his contract.
All right.
Trading Kawhi to Sacramento for a package, getting the second round pick, yada, yada, yada.
Second round pick, De'Aaron Fox, and Willie Cauley-Stein.
What I'm saying is, you know what Pop loves more than anything else in this league? Foreign players who are really good, and then picking Doncic. Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic to the Spurs.
Like, no, seriously, think about it.
That's good. Think about how well it
fits into everything. Both teams, Sacramento, if they get one more good player like a Kawhi Leonard, they've got enough young talent where they could compete. Remember,
they build around Kawhi. They have De'Aaron Fox already.
Willie Cauley-Stein, who's decent around the rim.
And if you get Kawhi around a team like that, this year's free agency crop, I don't think you're pulling.
Yeah, much.
Oh, LeBron and Paul George to Sacramento. It's in California, but it's not LA. The whole gang's going to Sacramento.
It fits because Sacramento is almost at the point where if they get a superstar like Kawhi, they could compete. Like, the West is really hard. They're not going to compete. In terms
of championships, but they've been bad for so long that they might just want to make a move like that, which makes sense. Their team, they may not be like, okay, we need to win a championship. Like, we've been irrelevant for so long. Let's trade for Kawhi.
And the Spurs have always loved their foreign players. Tony Parker, Tim Duncan.
And he could learn under Luka Doncic, whatever.
It's just something I was piecing together one day when I was bored at work. Like, it just kind of...
Was that your theory? You came up with that?
Yeah, I came up with this, actually.
If that happens, I think we have to... I almost want to tweet this out and pretend we have sources, which we've... If you've been following us for a while, we just say speculation that we just kind of sugarcoat our crazy theories. What was it, Jahlil Okafor to the Bulls?
Yeah, we have zero sources on the inside.
We're both college kids. We don't have any connections. But if we do somehow break a story, that'd be kind of sick.
Yeah.
And we don't have any reputation on the line. You know, no one's going to be like, oh, these guys are, oh, this Twitter.
Well, we're playing with house money. We have nothing to lose.
Exactly. What are people going to say if we break a fake story? And then if people come at us, it's a prank.
Delete the tweet,
say it's a prank, and then.
Dexter Fowler style.
Dexter Fowler. Oh, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Our buddy Joe got us in a little firestorm from Cardinals fans on that the other day.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing when you have 8 people on a Twitter account is you'll just look at it and you'll be like, who tweeted this thing that everyone's pissed off at us about?
And sometimes no one will raise their hand. It's like, it's literally like a group of kids. Like,
yeah, we're like, oh, I didn't do it. What about when...
I tweeted the Jose Fernandez thing.
That was bad. Or I was the one who retweeted Adam Shaheen talking about how he hated Obama.
And then it blew up after that.
It blew up, and NBC Sports Chicago had it in an article. They asked Adam Shaheen about the tweets. And
I think that was actually us.
Like, it was us. I remember because I was like, oh, like a lot of people will go back and look at old tweets. And then I was like, oh, haha. Like, I didn't think it would be a big deal. I was like, oh, I'll retweet like just some of the kind of funny things he said. And one of them... A lot of Chicago got really mad at.
We're on Adam Shaheen's shit list.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. At that point, I was probably senior in high school, and like I did not understand the power of Windy City Sports. And after that, I was like, oh my God.
I'm trying to think of who else the shit list might be on. The guy who I copied on Jay Cutler's Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, you didn't put according to.
I thought everyone had tweeted it, but he was wrong. He was the only one to tweet. His was a wild shot in the dark. He turned out to be wrong. People got mad at me for that, so I didn't.
We're not Big J journos over here. We're just college kids with a Twitter account.
If some random dude tweeted it, I figured everyone had known by then, so I didn't. Like, if everyone knows, like, who cares what the sources are? Like, everyone knows.
We're sorry, guy.
I'm not gonna go through and find
creds to you
who tweeted it first.
Jay Cutler to the Dolphins.
I'm trying to think who else. One time, Kevin Youkilis quoted a tweet of ours. I told him his swing was something like he looked like he had Parkinson's.
Well, that's an intense tweet. Telling someone that their swing looks like they have Parkinson's disease is
it's a bold move. That's too rough. I didn't say that.
Yeah, that is too rough.
I said he had like a broken back. Okay, scoliosis.
that's so much better than Parkinson's. Wow, man.
Well, you can fix scoliosis.
Wow, we're really airing out our dirty laundry here. We could have kept it under the veil of Windy City Sports and Now there's names behind the tweets.
That's fine.
It's okay. I mean, yeah, who cares? This was
like a year and a half ago.
All 15 of you who listen to this.
Kill us for the two bad tweets we've had in 3 years.
Yeah, mostly we're just tweeting out Rizzo in all caps when he's hitting bombs. Yeah. So it's okay. But, wow, went from Kawhi to...
Parkinson's.
Scoliosis and Parkinson's and, what, Kevin Youkilis' swing. Great stuff. Off the rails. Just like NBA free agency will be with LeBron. Look at that segue.
That dude is already out.
Do you think it's 100% set in stone that he is going to leave Cleveland?
He'll probably go back to Cleveland.
You think he's going back to Cleveland?
I think he's going back to the Lakers. If I was...
You just said, I think he's going back to Cleveland, followed by, I think he's going back to the Lakers.
Well, Cleveland... Well, if he's going anywhere, it's the Lakers.
Okay, I agree with that. I think. But what about the... What do you think about the Celtics? Some people are saying... No shot.
He doesn't want to join a super team.
Did you drop a contact or something?
I don't think I had it in the first place.
Okay. Kyle just looked like he dropped a contact and just ruined the flow of the LeBron conversation.
It's this thing that sits in your nose or your glasses. People who wear glasses know. I think it fell off, but I'll be fine. But yeah, God. If LeBron leaves the Lakers, but if I'm saying like I think he's going to go to the Lakers, but if I were to bet and put money,
you'd go Cleveland?
The safest money where I'm like, okay, like the least, because if he leaves, he could pick multiple places. But like, I think it's like 50% he stays in Cleveland, 50% he goes somewhere else.
I would agree with that. And the thing I think about when I say that he's going to stay in Cleveland is that there's really nowhere besides L.A. that can get him a bunch of other superstars. And even if L.A. does get him a bunch of superstars, and the thing now everyone's talking about is Kawhi, PG, and LeBron, if that were to somehow happen... They trade away all of their depth, pretty much, to get Kawhi. And then they'd use all of their cap space on LeBron and PG. And I'm not saying that's still not a really good team. Obviously, it's a great team. They probably could compete with the Warriors. But the thing that makes the Warriors great is guys like Sean Livingston and role players. Obviously, their role players have diminished a little bit since they got Kevin Durant because, you know, Kevin Durant. But I don't know, even I would go to L.A. if that situation happened for LeBron, obviously. But if it's just him and PG, are they going to beat the Warriors? I don't think so. I don't think Lonzo Ball, Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, I don't think that's good enough to beat the Warriors. So why not just stay in the East, most likely have a good shot at making the finals every year, just finish out your career in your hometown, stay in your same home. I just feel like it's a lot more convenient, unless there's somewhere that is, okay, this team is on the same level as the Warriors.
Well, remember the trade deadline, how chaotic it was this year? A lot of it involved the Lakers and them moving as many pieces as possible to save costs this offseason. Like, everyone knew that's exactly what they were doing. Because there was a big thing with, what, Jay Crowder went to Utah, like, Lakers sent out Larry Nance...
Jordan Clarkson, both of the Cavs.
They got Isaiah Thomas. Because isn't Isaiah Thomas free agent this year?
I honestly have no idea what's going on with Isaiah Thomas. I feel like he's under contract. No, I'm pretty sure he's a free agent.
That's why. I think they picked him up so he could just
because
like,
the Celtics wanted to trade him because they pretty much didn't want to end up... Well, one, they wanted Kyrie Irving, which makes sense. And two, I don't think they wanted to have to make that decision in free agency because they know that the Boston fans love Isaiah Thomas and they didn't want to have to just pretty much let him go in free agency.
It was like between Kyrie and Isaiah Thomas, it was like Danny Ainge and the Celtics were literally like spoon feeding a bunch of kids vegetables and like trust me, it's good for you. Like it'll help you later on.
And I think they're gonna be right, but Kyrie's kinda weird too. He's always downplaying the situation. He said what he was talking about signing long term, and he said, you know, we'll get there when we get there. And he's just a very non-committal kind of a... Honestly, Kyrie's kind of a weird guy. No one really says that about Kyrie. He's great. He's a baller, whatever. He kind of has a movie coming out about himself, Uncle Drew. That's about Kyrie, right?
I'm actually excited. It's about Uncle Drew.
I don't is but Kyrie is Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that thus makes it about Kyrie. I guess we'll have to see. Look at that promo. If Uncle Drew the movie wants to pay us for that promo, we will not deny.
Yeah, exactly. Free money here.
But yeah, Kyrie's a weird dude. He's a flat earther, right?
Which baffles my mind.
I'm pretty sure Kyrie's a flat earther. He's didn't want to play with LeBron, which, you know, I can see you want to be your own star, but pretty much signed away free passes to the NBA Finals every single year. So, you know, weird things can happen.
Born in Australia.
That's the weirdest thing about him. I mean, he's using his big contract on Outback Steakhouse, probably.
He's going to buy the whole chain.
I'm sure with LeBron, too. Man, terrible transitioning. Just Kyrie, well, I mean, you know, whatever. Is that I don't think he wants people to hate him. He's a guy who, you know, he cares about his legacy. And I feel like if he leaves to go to, I don't know, just say Philly or Boston or just somewhere that's not, I don't think people will criticize him if he goes to a super team in LA. But I think if he just leaves
they will, because it'll be the same thing as the Heat where a super team wasn't really there.
Yeah, but it's at the point in the NBA where there's so many super teams that it's not like, oh, this ruins the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, the Warriors are so good that adding another super team, it's like, okay, there's someone to compete with the Warriors. It's not...
Well, see, the thing is adding super teams would be good at this point because there's one that's just running it. You need something to compete. You need a competing product. So it's not bad. Obviously, if there was no super team, that's when you're happiest. It's like all the teams just... kind of decking it out. Kind of like baseball in a way.
Yeah.
Like, there are
super teams. There's the best teams. It's just not...
They're not
as
over the top.
It's not as inevitable. And the bottom of the league isn't as trash. Because there's so many teams that are trying to tank, which is a joke. But back to the LeBron and the legacy thing. I think if he just left for Philly or Houston, a team... Or maybe not Houston because... That'd be a very good team. But if he just goes to more of a, I don't want to say mediocre, but a team that's not a huge upgrade in terms of the personnel to Cleveland, I think he'd get very criticized.
Houston was one game away from the
final. Houston would be. If you left to Boston, I'm going to say Boston. If he goes to Boston.
One game away from the finals.
Exactly. He just goes to a team that he just beat that's in the same conference, and it's just kind of. I mean, it's not on the same level as Durant leaving after being up 3-1, but it would kind of be, LeBron sees that the Celtics are about to take over the East. He doesn't want to lose to them on the Cavs with no one. He doesn't think he can beat them alone, and then he leaves and just joins them.
That's why
I think that would hurt his legacy.
That's why I said if I were to bet on where he goes, I'd put money on Cleveland because it's the safest bet. I think he cares about his legacy, and he knows if he went anywhere... He'd just be red. He basically got to handpick his team last year with Isaiah Thomas, Derrick Rose, and all those guys. Getting Jay Crowder, it's pretty much the GM has said it's LeBron's choices at this point.
And back to the draft, they have the 8th pick. Do you think there's any pick that would help keep LeBron? Because I really don't think so. But
I think the one that looks best for them is probably Trae Young, someone who
that would help LeBron right now.
Yeah,
for sure. I think he would fit well with LeBron because if he goes to the Cavs and LeBron stays, I think he possibly could win Rookie of the Year just because...
Assist?
I'm not saying one assist, obviously. Two, just his style of play. If he's a really good shooter with LeBron, obviously... If you have Trae Young, Kyle Korver, and LeBron on the floor at the same time, that spacing is going to be pretty good, and Trae Young's probably going to knock down some shots.
It's already known that LeBron doesn't like rookies, and I feel like Trae Young would also wear
him
out.
Got rid of Andrew Wiggins real quick, that's for sure.
Would wear him out the quickest with his patience. Like, imagine LeBron open the corner, Trae Young just walks down the corner, shoots a three.
Trae Young would 100% have to learn how to...
Self-defense. He has to go to self-defense classes if he plays with LeBron.
That too, and... He's just a guy who's been the guy on his teams. I heard he was not on a very good high school team. He just carried that team.
Yeah.
Oklahoma without Trae Young was pretty garbage. Obviously, he just tried to carry that team as far as he could. So no matter what NBA team he goes to, he's going to have to go through that process, but especially if he plays with LeBron. But that's something you think you'd be able to figure out. You have a whole season to do it. And I think the pick that would almost cement Cleveland thinking that LeBron is going to leave, if they take Michael Porter, I think they're pretty much saying bye to LeBron.
Yeah.
They're saying this guy is a guy who might have been taken first overall if he didn't get hurt. We think LeBron's leaving. We need to take a shot. We have the eighth pick, and we could get someone who might turn out. I know that's the same thought process as the Bulls. You're getting that high-level talent at the eighth pick. But especially the Cavs, if they lose LeBron, they are way worse rebuild mode than the Bulls were after Jimmy Butler. Because the Bulls got Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine right off the bat.
Well,
the Cavs would be left with almost nothing if LeBron leaves.
Let's think about what their starting five would be.
Their starting five would...
Let's assume
if they draft Michael Porter.
Yeah. So
if they draft Michael Porter, their starting five would be... Who's their point guard? Who would be their point guard?
That's the position I can't think of. At the two, you could probably put Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson.
Rodney Hood's
there. J.R. Smith. Rodney Hood.
I know Rodney Hood didn't do good, but last year he was averaging like 18 points
bad.
A game.
But they'd still be pretty bad, though.
Yeah,
I wonder how good Kevin Love would be without LeBron. He might.
He's past his prime, but look how he did in Minnesota.
He'd probably be.
They'd
still be really
bad. Kevin Love would have never won a championship staying in Minnesota.
No.
But if he stays there, he's without a doubt in my mind a Hall of Famer. Because he's putting up like 20 and 15 a game there.
That's true. That's the one thing about the NBA now.
Let me check his stats.
Is that I feel like stats definitely rule it a little more
than any other sport.
And especially
baseball to me is completely.
And especially with such a high scoring league, I feel like people are really gonna have to adjust what statistics mean to them. Because you're saying Kevin Love is a Hall of Famer. I know he was great on the Timberwolves, but now that we see what he is on the Cavs, and it's not that he's not a really good player. It's just
different areas.
If he stayed on the Timberwolves and you say he kept putting up the numbers that he was putting up on the T-Wolves, if he kept putting those up, he's probably a Hall of Famer. But Kevin Love's not a Hall of Fame player. That's one of the things about the NBA now, is that stats are definitely inflated for guys with how many points they're putting up. And especially if they're on a bad team where they're the only guy, they could be a guy like Kevin Love, who's an all-star few years.
He's put up 20 and 12.
20 and 12, if you span that over...
Agreed.
If you can do that for 6 to 8 years in a row, you're probably a Hall of Famer.
Well, think about it. Dennis Rodman averaged 13.1 rebounds per game.
Don't forget with Dennis Rodman, it's one of the most important things to remember. He denuclearized North Korea.
Yeah. Which, big time stat right there.
Those are some of the funniest tweets I saw post that whole Trump-Kim Jong-un meeting. I know nothing about politics. I don't care. But it was that, did LeBron ever have a teammate who helped denuclearize North Korea? My dad's calling. You know what? We're going to pause because maybe I'll be called into work. So we'll be back in a second.
How we pause?
You press this button right here. Give me a second. Wow, this is going to be great content. All right, thanks for the patience. Back from that little elevator music. Just to hold you over while we stopped talking basketball because I had to take a call. You know, again, we're just kids here. I kind of have work, but I kind of don't. One of those things where my dad could call me at any time if he needs help. Works in the morning. Can't just block out a whole day to do podcasts. We don't get paid for this.
As much as we'd love to.
Yeah, no. Well, actually, that brings me into something that I tried to do last week. I don't know if any of you guys saw that.
T-shirts?
I tried to sell T-shirts. That was a dramatic failure. Not one T-shirt sold. I thought it was kind of a cool design, but no one bit. But it was worth a shot.
We got to start writing on that website. I'm still getting charged.
We could.
Monthly for a website that we have not used.
That's the Windy City Sports difference.
Procrastination.
We were just talking about Kevin Love. If you want to keep going with that, we can. But I thought of something that we really should talk about. Okay, it's big. Do we re-sign Zach LaVine this offseason? He's a restricted free agent.
Yeah, I don't think you give him the max, though. I think some dumb team will try to.
So you think someone might throw a lot of money at him?
Yeah,
and then
his potential, but I don't think he'll ever hit it. He's not going to be... I think he's going to be an average to above average shooting guard. He's never going to be a DeMar DeRozan or anything
so
like that.
If he gets this contract that you speak of, do you think the Bulls match, and do you think they should match?
For max, no. And no. Like I said, I don't think he's ever going to be all that. He might be like an all-star, like a low-end all-star off the bench.
Two or three-time all-star, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to go, and he's, especially when we're real bad, he's going to be our leading scorer. He could put up 20 a game. But I don't know. Maybe he flips it around like Victor Oladipo has. Who knows?
I think it's something really interesting to think about, though, because we gave up... He was one of the key parts of that trade. We gave away Jimmy Butler, and one of the things that was sold to us was that Zach LaVine, coming off this torn ACL, he's going to be really good. And he showed flashes at times last year, but at the same time, he didn't show us that he is a guy that we 100% need long-term. I want to keep him. I think the Bulls want to keep him. But I think, like you said, there is a price that someone may bid, because God knows NBA role players get insane money nowadays. So if someone puts a lot of money on Zach LaVine, he may not be a Bull anymore. And then I don't know what that does for the rebuild in general. I think that might help a little bit in terms of being bad for a little longer.
It'll be worse, yeah.
Just because with how the Bulls have done it, they've set themselves up to be okay quicker than we want to.
Yeah.
So maybe getting rid of LaVine, unless he ends up turning out to be an all-star, which would be an all-time Chicago thing, just to have Zach LaVine for a year.
Let him walk and he turns out.
Let him walk and now he's going to be... Yeah, he turns into DeMar DeRozan. That would be a very Chicago thing to happen. So... I don't know.
I think the Bulls will end up re-signing him. I think Zach LaVine wants to be in Chicago. I just don't think he's going to get as much money as people think.
Which I would not complain at all. We'd have some long-term financial flexibility, which maybe the Bulls' plan is to not have to be in the top three picks and draft a superstar. Maybe it is just to draft the high-floor guys. Get a Wendell Carter with the 7th pick, and then have Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, like a really good foundation, and let that build and turn into a pretty good team for the next couple of years. Let them develop, and then maybe their plan is, once someone hits free agency, once a superstar hits free agency, they look at Chicago and see Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, or whoever it happens to be with that pick. See a foundation that just needs a superstar to put him over the edge. That might be the Bulls' plan.
No.
You don't think that's...
The Bulls are like your buddy at a party where they can never close the deal in free agency with the pretty girl or the big free agent.
That's true.
They sit there talking, and there's all the rumors like something's going to happen, but nothing ever does. You know, it's LeBron, Dwayne Wade.
We end up getting old Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
And what is the best Bulls free agency signing of our, like, not lifetime, but...
We'll say last 20 years.
Bulls fandom. Not even last 20 years. I'd say the past 8 to 10 years. Because if you go 20 years...
I would have said...
I don't even know. Oh
God, I probably would have said Rajon Rondo.
No, not Rajon. It's probably Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
Is it Pau Gasol?
I was thinking Rondo because of what he could do. I mean, look, he went to the Pelicans. He did amazing.
Yeah, but he was here for a year.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Bulls kind of ruined him.
Who have we even signed?
I think Rajon's a Hall of Famer.
Carlos Boozer. Rajon Rondo. Is he a Hall of Famer? Oh, man.
Based only on his assist numbers?
I would say probably not. No. I would say Rajon Rondo is not a Hall of Famer, because I think to be a Hall of Famer, you have to be
an all-time...
Great. Like, you have to look back on an era and see someone as an all-time great. I don't see Rajon Rondo as an all-time great point guard.
I was going to slip based on assist numbers, but yeah,
I don't think you can just look at the numbers.
Pure passer of our generation after like Jason Kidd, like the next generation. It's like what, him and Chris Paul.
Yeah, but he's just that guy who's was a really good NBA player on a really good team that won a championship. I think he's that second tier.
Yeah, he only averaged 8.5 for his career.
Averaged 8.5 points per game. That's definitely not Hall of Fame, but
no, he averages 10.5 points, 4.8 rebounds, and 8.5 assists. I thought the assists was way more.
What's most obviously assists? A very good player, but not Hall of Fame. But he's definitely not the best free agent signing. It's either Cebuz or Pau Gasol, and you know, then again,
God, I was
like
say
I said,
Boozer,
we're young,
but I wanted
we
to
don't
forget
know
that.
Because I really can't think of any other. We signed Rip Hamilton back in the day. That did not go according to plan. That was towards the end of his career. That's usually what we do. We sign guys towards the end of their career, try and patch something together. But I don't know. Garden packs, I think what I just laid out, though, could be a good plan if we're able to land someone in free agency. I don't like banking on free agency. I never like that because that's so speculative. I want them to grow people from within. But if that's what it ends up having to be, it's not a terrible path to have it in place. It's almost like with the Celtics. They had all the homegrown players, and then they went out and traded for Kyrie.
Which
you know?
Is the right thing to do. It's almost like in baseball with the Cubs. Most of their guys were homegrown.
Exactly.
Besides, like, Rizzo.
Yeah.
And Addy.
You go homegrown, and then you trade for the final piece. Or you trade for the final piece, or you get it in free agency. So, and honestly, the Cubs definitely did that. I'd say the final piece was kind of John Lester.
Yeah.
John Lester, and even you say you count Chapman. You know, that's kind of the...
Which comes in a new big thing with Chapman and Torres. And
well,
Torres
I would
amazing.
Do that trade 100
yeah.
times over, but Gleyber Torres is a monster.
I'm not sure we get a World Series without Chapman, honestly.
No, I don't think we do either. But
think about it, Game 7 coming out. I know he gave up the 2-run home run, but he'd already been worn out from pitching so dang much in every other series before. Like, I remember him pitching on Halloween. I was at a Halloween party, and he came in with the 7th, so like 45 pitches,
yep.
and closed the deal. And what was that, Game 6?
Yeah.
No,
Chapman.
Game 7 was November 2nd.
But I'm fine. I'm definitely okay that we gave him up. I know he's really good, but
yeah.
he's, you know.
I think that was Game 5.
But point being, I think that that's a model that has worked in different sports, is build from within and then free agency. Look at the Minnesota Vikings in the NFL. Kind of build from within, have a great defense, have a really improve their offensive line. Now Dalvin Cook at running back. Obviously, Case Keenum had a lightning in a bottle year at quarterback, but now they go out and get Kirk Cousins, build from within, and then get the last piece in free agency. So maybe, if you want to be optimistic, maybe that's the Bulls' plan, but that is yet to be seen.
Maybe.
There's a lot of NBA talk, a lot of good stuff in there.
42 minutes.
Wow, look at that. That's just content, guys, right there.
All
right,
let's move on to something else.
I got
30 more minutes.
I was about to transition. Let me do my transition magic, Kyle. Come on. Obviously, we're going to move on to none other than the United States Open or the U.S. Open.
I didn't get to watch a lot, but I heard especially the first round was absolutely brutal.
Shinnecock Hills really gave people the pipe.
Yeah, like the leader was at a 1-under. After the
yep.
first day,
and then,
which is insane.
I'm going to be on Brooks Koepka, I think that's how you say it. He won. He won the U.S. Open last year, too. Dude's kind of jacked. Apparently, he lifts. I think he said he lifted before his round on Sunday, which
right.
is kind of nuts. That's a full-on meathead bro move.
Like
no days off.
It's like a runner's high. Like when I work, I do in the morning, too. It feels better.
I think he just wanted, he said, you know what, I'm close enough that if I win, I want to have a pump in the pictures. That's probably what he was thinking.
It's like, got to look good for the photos.
Yeah, I know nothing about Brooks Koepka. I really can't talk about Brooks Koepka. But I'd say one of the biggest things that people are talking about coming off of this U.S. Open, beyond the whole really hard course and all that jazz, which I like golf, but I'm not super into golf where I can talk about hole placement and the
yeah.
you know, the different things about the length of the rough that make it more difficult. I, you know, I don't know all that type of stuff. So
about to play my first 18 holes on tomorrow.
Fox Run.
At Fox Run. So next week I'll be a pro. I'll give pros insight.
Slight downgrade from Shinnecock Hills, but yeah. People were talking about Phil Mickelson though, and I didn't see it live, but Twitter started blowing up because he was putting. Pretty horrible putt. Look, I don't know how the green was set up, but I'm assuming he thought it was going to roll off the green, gave it a little trot over, and then tapped it back towards the hole. The golf purists are freaking out. He was given a two-shot penalty, I think it is, which I feel like is kind of not harsh enough for, it's the U.S. Open.
He literally stopped the ball from being further than where it should be to take a shot. That's not right at all.
His explanation was he knew that it was a two-shot penalty and just kind of wanted to take it. But I feel like that he was having a god-awful round. Horrible.
Yeah.
And it was probably out of frustration. But I just don't think that's something you do. I obviously, like we said, we're not golf guys. We're not hardcore golf people. But that's just something that you know when you're actually golfing in a legitimate environment you don't do. Especially the U.S. Open when all eyes are on you. But at the same time, well, some people think he should have been DQ'd. He was doing so bad. I don't know.
As the once great Shooter McGavin said, played as a lies, Doug.
That's a great...
Doug played
great
as a lies. Well, you gotta let it lie
in order to shoot.
You can't just let the ball be rolling down the hill and you freaking kick it or something so you get it where you want it and then shoot.
That's one of the things, too, is that if it wasn't Phil, I feel like someone would have been DQ'd. If it was just some random guy no one knew about, probably would have just said, all right, you're out of the tourney, because it's Phil Mickelson. I like Phil, and I honestly don't think it's as big of a deal as everyone says, but it's something that if I were the USGA, I'd probably decide, especially in a major championship when everyone's watching. I'd say if you do that, you probably should be DQ'd.
No, I think so? Two or three stroke penalty's fine. I mean,
it was kind of funny. I give Phil credit. Ed took some kahunas.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even do that just playing with my dad if he's in a serious golf mode. And you know.
Yeah,
he'd get pissed off and be like, "Oh, those are not the rules of the game," and I wouldn't even do that.
It's just something you don't do. It's literally a written rule, and it's something that's just common sense. Why? I mean, I get you're angry and impatient. I mean, but you're a pro golfer on one of the world's biggest tours. You can't be doing that.
It was kind of funny, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just the common man shout for a nice Sunday round of golf, or Saturday, I think. Just, you know, probably pounding a couple beers with his buddies.
It's not even like he made it.
No, he didn't even make it.
He missed that one, too.
I think he finished it plus 16 or 17, which is, you know, not good. Again, no golf expert, but plus 16 and plus 17, not a good score.
I get the courses are hard, but how crazy is it? Like I said, after the first day, that the winner was only one under par. These guys are struggling to play par because how hard the course is.
It's definitely nuts. I barely shoot one over par in mini putt-putt. So.
Yeah, I am brutal at golf. My score, I'm expecting tomorrow 18 holes. Probably I'll shoot 110.
As long as it's fun. You know what?
I have fun with it, but that's all that
matters. As much as I do love talking U.S. Open, we're a little hard-pressed for time, so we should maybe talk about some things we know about. What do you think?
World Cup.
Wow, that would have been perfect. That would have been the perfect transit. You know what? We'll go with that. We'll get to the Cubs later. I have it written down in the order of Cubs, then World Cup. But since you gave us that amazing transition.
As long as we're on topics of stuff, we have no idea about or very little knowledge. I've been watching a ton of World Cup. It's actually been super exciting, and I'm not even a soccer fan. But all the games so far have been super fun to watch. I woke up, and I got to see Argentina, Iceland, which is awesome. Because
Iceland is dope. I'm an Iceland guy now.
Their coach is a dentist. Their goalie is a film director. It's like the team that all these guys have side jobs because most of them aren't even playing in leagues. in half of them. Like, there was 30,000 Iceland fans there. The total population of the country is, like, 390,000. They had, like, 8% of their population.
That's
there.
Like taking a fan bus for high school and you'd send, like, half the school. That's what Iceland did. They sent a fan boat, probably. They probably sent a fan cruise ship.
And drew Argentina.
Just packed people in.
And it was hard watching Argentina. Like I said, I don't watch a lot of soccer. So the day before, I was lucky enough to get to watch Cristiano Ronaldo against Spain, which was...
Nice.
Amazing.
Easy hat trick right there.
Amazing performance. Watching him score that, the free kick goal in, I think, the 88th minute to tie it was insane. Like, upper 90, perfect. It was awesome to watch that. And watching Messi, he didn't impress me as much. Like, everyone says that it's between him and Ronaldo. I guess it is.
After, you know, as an expert, after watching about 20 minutes of Messi and pretty much the whole game of that Spain-Portugal, I would go with Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I saw three goals to none. So
I mean, it's one game.
No, I know. I really don't.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't judge it off one game. But it'll be fun to watch them both for a whole World Cup. Germany and Mexico, the second half of that game was wild.
And
like,
Mexico pulled a huge upset, actually. Well, not a huge upset, but it was definitely an upset.
It was a big upset.
Was it considered huge?
Not like huge. Because
I know,
like,
didn't Germany win the last World Cup?
Yes. And Mexico wasn't expected. Dude, when they scored their one goal, there was an earthquake in Mexico City.
Because, like, legitimate earthquake?
Like a synthetic, kind of like what Marshawn did. Like, they were freaking out that much and caused, like, a 2.3 earthquake.
I've never respected soccer more than just hearing that. I had no idea about that synthetic earthquake, but I am disappointed that Chicago did not have that when the Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah.
We need to get our celebration level on causing a legitimate earthquake.
But
wow.
The second half of the German-Mexico game was so fun to watch because Germany was in all-out attack mode. So they had all their guys on Mexico's side trying to score goals. And they had a bunch of opportunities, and they had possession probably 85% of the time. And then Mexico would get the ball in like a 3-on-2 break, and they couldn't finish. And Germany got close sometimes, and it was just a great game to watch.
As someone who doesn't, per se, like soccer, right now, with World Cup, I watch it. It's definitely fun.
It's the only soccer I watch.
Exactly. But when you get, like you said, with Germany having a bunch of guys attack and getting shots on goal, and it kind of gets into a... I don't want to say hockey rhythm, but when hockey has a bunch of shots on goal and it's getting... That's when soccer's cool. To me, when it's really boring is the first half of the game when it's just... It just seems like the ball's always in the middle of the field. They shoot every 10 minutes, it feels like.
Yeah.
That's when it gets boring for me, but...
The second half
exactly.
Felt like a hockey game.
The highlights are... I always love soccer highlights because goals are hype as hell. When you score two times a game... Pretty hype.
Yeah, the goals are. It's just so fun to watch. I'm trying to think. I watched another game, but I don't remember what. But all the games have been super fun to watch so far. I'm so excited. I wish USA was in it, though, because that's awesome. Because
hey, we will be 2026 because
we're not
we are
even
hosting.
Sure. They're not even sure because
they're
it's,
not,
it's a
oh,
tri-bed.
If it's a... Since it's going to be... It's U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
But I guess since U.S. has like 70% of the hosting sites, they're going to like talk about it. Like U.S. being an auto bid.
We could sure as hell use that auto bid.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, I think we'd make it. I don't know.
If they play in Chicago, which I don't think
they're not.
Mayor Emanuel doesn't want us,
which
is dumb.
I really...
He's not even going to be mayor. Though.
I don't know. I have no idea. That stuff's above me. It's above my sports brain. I don't... You know, financially, who knows?
Yeah.
Whatever.
But watching Team USA is so fun. I don't care how bad they do, but it's...
Oh, yeah. It makes it... Because
you can
so
go
high.
Anywhere.
I'd watch that game for sure.
You can go anywhere
and
all the TVs play it, no matter what, just because it's the World Cup. And, like, everyone's rooting for the same team.
You love it. Everyone's on one. It's like the Olympics, you know?
Yeah.
You like, tune in for the Olympics, root for the good old USA.
I think the World Cup
better.
Is way better.
I don't know if I'd say...
Besides, like, Olympic hockey, like, what else? What other Olympic sports is everyone really...
I'm not saying sports-wise, but, like, the Olympics, it has... I mean, World Cup has a history, too.
There's not, like, one event.
That's what I was going to say. That's the thing I like about the World Cup is with the U.S. Say the U.S. is playing in the World Cup. Everyone's eyes are on that game. That is the only thing. If you're watching ice skating and the U.S. people don't win... Oh, okay. We're over to skiing where we just won a gold medal. You know,
like, think about it. If like we won a gold medal in skiing, Think about the reaction when that is compared to if USA scored a goal in like the 89th minute.
That's true.
Like it, because that's what they did couple of years ago. Landon Donovan scored in, I think it's 2010 against Algeria with like in the, like the 93rd in extra time to win it. And it was insane.
I remember watching that game. It was good.
That was awesome.
It's just so weird to me how we're not amazing at soccer. I know this is some U.S. bias, but I genuinely believe that we, if we really wanted to, or yeah. I don't know the inner workings of...
We tend to do good in the Olympics, like athletes. Like
I just feel like athletically, yes, we should be a top team. I know we don't have the culture that other places have around soccer, but...
I wish soccer was bigger in the U.S. I also wish racing was bigger in the U.S. Like, Le Mans just finished.
All right, you know what? We're not going there. We're not going to get into a if we like racing debate, because we all know...
I don't even like NASCAR that much. I watch the GT leagues, like Le Mans.
I like playing Need for Speed on occasion.
Really? I'll play Gran Turismo a bunch.
Or I do GTA and run away from the cops in a car. Yeah. So that's about my racing knowledge. But, so with soccer in the U.S., I just never wrap my head around. I understand that it's not the biggest sport. It's probably fourth or fifth. It might be fifth. In terms of kids playing it, it's probably fourth behind... Baseball, basketball, like soccer, and football.
I feel like soccer is one of those things where, like, if we're talking like 8-year-olds, I bet more 8-year-olds play soccer than football.
See, do you think that will bode like, well for the future? Is that just... Is it the thing I think... This is probably a terrible generalization. But I feel like that number of kids playing soccer might be a lot of the kind of uptight moms who... I'm holding a metal thing. I've dropped it like 4 times. I'm fidgeting with it. So sorry for that background noise. But I feel like it's the kind of uptight moms who are scared about football and probably don't have great athletic sons. And
I feel like
I don't want them
like,
to get hurt.
Soccer's like baseball though. I feel like almost every kid plays at least like even like.
I never played soccer.
Really?
Never organized soccer. I played recess soccer. I was goalie. And the one time they let me not play goalie, I swear to God, at least my year, it was a record. I scored 6 goals in one game. The next game, they told me to get back in goal.
Playing soccer is fun. We go up here to Olympic in Schaumburg sometimes.
Olympic is a good park. I like.
We're going up there to play basketball tonight. You trying to come?
I hate outdoor basketball. I'm not going to lie.
It's way better than outside.
But me and Kyle's friends, we usually, well, at least last summer, we played at the local gym all the time. Now, we haven't played basketball in a while. I don't know. Outdoor basketball, I'm iffy.
I think it's way better. But yeah, a couple years ago, we played soccer a bunch over the summer. It was so much fun.
Soccer. Playing, like, it has to be in a smaller, confined area, so you don't, because...
Have you ever played World Cup, it's called? Like, you're, like, a country. Like a country, and you, like, have to say it as you shoot the ball.
And another. Oh my. Oh God. Wow, that was bad. I thought elevator music was going to play again like earlier, but then my phone shuffled and Keith Urban started playing. The reason there was elevator music is because my dang sister walked in the kitchen, you know, like she lives here, and decided she was going to make lunch. So she's still making lunch in the background, but like we said earlier, we're Windy City Sports. We're just a couple college dudes just sitting around talking sports.
Not very professional.
Yeah, no studio up in here. That's the Windy City Sports difference. So, you know, we're going to roll with the punches because that's what a true, I don't want to say Chicagoans, but from the suburbs do. We roll with the punches of life. Okay.
Right, stop. Here we go.
Yeah, that's the point to stop. But just like rolling with the punches, the Cubs... Been rolling with the punches of the MLB.
They've been turning around.
It was a terrible transition again. But, yes, the Cubs just took 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals. And something I took away, did you watch the game last night?
No, I didn't get to.
Okay. Well, Quintana, pretty good outing. Not bad. Yanked him. He started to show signs of it was the third time through the order. And I know there's... the statistics on him that he's been really bad third time through the order. I believe there
As
were...
As most pitchers are.
Most pitchers are, but he was only at about 85 pitches, and...
Really?
He was going pretty good yesterday. He got in a rhythm, and it was... He's strung together a couple of good starts here.
How many earned runs did he have yesterday?
Honestly, it might have been... I think it was one or two, and it was after he got pulled. They brought in...
Really?
They brought in... They just called up some guy from... He's one of the new relievers. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. But they ended up giving up a couple runs, and then things kind of ballooned from there. But Quintana pitched pretty well. And then Hendricks the night before also started out not too well. Gave up a two-run homer against Ozuna. Marcell Ozuna hit a two-run homer. Then he kind of weathered the storm, made it through, I believe, six innings. But how do you feel about, just in general, not even these last two outings? Joe Maddon this year has been pulling starters pretty, I don't want to say early, because that's kind of the trend in the MLB, the whole analytics thing, taking guys out before they get through that third time through the order where they give up a lot of runs. How do you feel about doing what Joe Maddon has been doing and kind of having a short leash versus letting a guy go 100 to 110 pitches, trying to let him work through things, maybe go seven innings? If he's going pretty good, obviously, there's obviously a certain point that there's difference, but how do you feel about it?
I think it comes all down to fatigue. Like, they've also been in talks when Yu comes back, kind of a six-man rotation. I think Joe's starting to realize that they have enough bats for the playoffs, and that once it comes to playoffs, like, you really need your pitchers and them to be able to go deep and not completely ride your bullpen the whole time. That's what it seems like we've been doing that a lot in the regular season.
We've been riding the bullpen for sure. And even though our starters have, I don't want to say they've been good, but it hasn't been last year where our starters were bad. It was bad last year. This year, Lester's been really good. Hendricks has not been as good, but he's still been good.
I did not think Lester would be good at all this year. I thought he'd start hitting that slump, but I am.
Very wrong.
One of the best seasons of his career.
Yeah, he's doing great.
But yeah.
I think you can pick your spots, though, because there are games that I think, like, throwing a guy over 100 pitches 3 to 5 times throughout the whole year, I don't think that's going to be, oh, in October, now he can't go anymore.
Especially with, like, guys like Kyle Hendricks who aren't going by with their arm speed.
Yeah, like it's not like the Mets where you got a bunch of firearms, you know?
Yeah, like, his arm is going to be able to handle 86 miles per hour throughout the whole game. Like I said, I think Joe just wants to save everybody, kind of get them rested, so in that way when other teams are starting to burn out towards the end of the playoffs, like, the Cubs' rotation is still going strong.
I agree with that in some sense, but I think he can let him go a little longer sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Joe...
The yank has been quick, and especially a guy like Quintana. I'd say especially Quintana, specifically, because he's been someone who's struggled a lot this year, and he's kind of starting to get it together. So once he is starting to get it together and you see some signs of life and you see him starting to pitch well, that's when maybe you say, okay, you know what, we're going to give you this one. We're going to give you this inning. Let's see if we can get out of it. If it's Lester and you know that if you left him in, he'd probably be able to get it done, but you want to save him, you don't want to throw him over 100 pitches, end of his career, not end of his career, but later in his career, I get that more. But a guy like Quintana, he's 29 now, 28, 20, whatever. I think you can let him work through it every once in a while.
I think Joe's trying to play the mental side and not let his pitchers get roughed up the third time and ruin their confidence.
It's definitely the analytics thing. I really think it is.
Yeah, because it's dangerous for a guy to go third time through because as a hitter, like, just playing baseball, like, I've seen a pitcher three times. You have the timing down and everything. I mean, you usually have it down almost by the second at bat if you have enough pitches in the first one. So the third time through, you're usually in a lot of danger as a pitcher. So I get why Joe's trying to do that. But at a certain point, you have to leave him too. I mean, you can't rely on the bullpen the whole way through.
Yeah, I'm a big one in mixing analytics and just old school baseball thought. It's not that I don't think analytics are valuable, because they are, but so there's a certain point where I think you just kind of go with some old baseball rules. But I have to say, Joe Maddon, I don't agree with him probably, I'd say, a lot in terms of daily things.
Yeah,
but
big picture,
I do not want to run him out of town, because there are some people who want to run him out of town, which I think is ridiculous, because he's the perfect manager for the Cubs. So
especially, it'll be interesting to see, though, how the city embraces Joe Mann as these guys get older, because he was perfect for a very young
team.
The
young team, yeah.
And being loose. But it'll be interesting to see how he fits as the Cubs get older and are more experienced. That's that same free.
If he doesn't
style.
Win another World Series, especially.
Yeah.
If he keeps, if we win another one or two, I think Joe Mann has a free pass for life. But
yeah,
I don't know how many years he has to get that done. But we kind of have to wrap it up here. So last thing we'll talk about. Just really quick, how long do you think, not even how long, just your thoughts on where the Cubs are at right now? Because personally, I think we're kind of in that second stage of the year. The first stage was we're trailing the Brewers, we're not doing great, and we're kind of just, everyone's a little worried. That was kind of the first stage. Then we got into the second stage, we caught up to the Brewers, we're a half game out, we lost 2 out of 3 to them up in Milwaukee, but whatever. One game at a time,
least
you
our
move
offense
on.
Offense traveled to St. Louis.
Exactly. But now I kind of feel like we're in that stage where we're going to be going back and forth for a little while, maybe the next 3 weeks to a month, maybe until the All-Star break even. I think it's going to be close, and I think the third phase is when we pull away.
Yeah, which is what the Cubs always do, right? The Cubs always come out hot right after the All-Star game.
Yes.
Like what was it, 2015, 2016? They get no hit by Cole Hamels.
It was 2016, or no... With the no-hitter, I don't remember.
With Cole Hamels, right before the All-Star game. Or immediately after. Like, it might have been the game after. And they went and tore it up the rest of the year. And that's what we did. Our record going to the All-Star game last year was, what, 47 and 45?
It was bad. We were not good. We were not good. We were way ahead of our pace last year. And it wasn't the same year, but you said 2015 with the Cole Hamels no-hitter. It might have been 2016, but 2016... We were struggling. That was our worst stretch that whole year, because that beginning of the year, we were setting the world on fire, doing great, and then we went through a big rut before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Came out of it and killed it. So
they ended up winning 100-something games.
I really think the Cubs are going to turn it on in the second half, especially I think hopefully Darvish is going to be healthy. Hopefully he picks it up. And then I think we're in a great spot to have a fresh rotation like we were talking about earlier, because – Montgomery's getting the start, I believe, tomorrow against Rich Hill in LA. So we can use Montgomery as a really frequent sixth starter.
Would you be okay with a six-man rotation? Like
I'm all for a six-man rotation.
Me too at this point.
Especially because I want to let Chatwood develop a little bit. Let him, I don't want to say develop because he's old, but try and work through his problems. I know people get annoyed watching him walk people all the time, but... I think that's something we have to live with. But six-man rotation in the second half, I think the Cubs are really gonna come on strong. So we're in LA for three. Or no, we're at home right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dodgers,
we have three.
Dodgers are coming to town.
Three at Wrigley against the Dodgers. Then we go to Cincinnati for a couple of games. Nice couple free wins, hopefully. Then again, who knows. And then I think out to LA. So we face the Dodgers 6 times in the next couple of weeks. We're not facing Kershaw in this series. I'd assume we'd see him. Maybe not. Maybe we avoid Kershaw in those six. Where is he? No, he's back, right?
It'll be interesting to see how we do against the Dodgers.
They've been an interesting team this year. I think we can. I'd say we're going to take at least 2 out of 3, especially at home. I think we're playing well. So I think that about wraps it up, unless you have any parting thoughts. So, for any of you who decided to sit here for a whole hour and almost 8 minutes, thank you. A couple of weird interruptions. One elevator music stop, one attempted elevator music stop that went wrong. But, regardless, we made it to the end. We'll be back, who knows when, probably after the NBA draft. Maybe this weekend, because there's probably going to be a lot to talk about with the Bulls, whatever they end up doing. Will they trade their non-existent assets to move up and draft Mo Bamba? We will see. But until then, enjoy your week and stay windy.
Stay windy.